Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing. Now, there's a scripture that I want to read to you. I confess I left my Bible all the way over there, but it's okay because we have it, it's back there on that screen, or you all will have it on this screen, but I can just look forward. So let's move into our scripture, Ben, and we'll check this out. Here, this is the first part of 1 Corinthians 13, and it goes like this. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. Can you imagine that sort of ring-a-ding-ding of clashing cymbals and gongs and things like that? Can you imagine that? Let's move on. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Did I skip part of that? I only have part of it. It's too big on the screen. Oh, and I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Our children's time this morning really was the beginning of our sermon time. And we might sort of especially put those together today as we're sort of addressing the same several passages of scripture throughout the service. Although, you know, one could argue that the sermon time really is beginning at the children's time. I've said a number of times, very often the kids up here preach the sermon better and surely more concisely than I do often. So I just want to highlight that we started that, and as we continue now, we're going to move into something that's a little bit different than we often do. We're going to have some time where I'm going to invite you to talk amongst yourselves, a little bit of group conversation time, but I want to lead you into that with a story that Anna shared with me a few weeks ago. She was talking with a friend who was having somewhat of a difficult relationship situation. And maybe you've experienced sometimes with a challenge in a relationship. You know, maybe it's a longtime friend and someone just sort of pops up in the middle of that relationship. Or maybe it's, you know, somebody who you've sort of met for the first time and you're sort of still getting to know who each other are. And sometimes challenges pop up. And as this friend shared this with Anna, some of the advice that came out of that, some of the advice that this young person had received had a lot to do with today's scripture. So I want you to keep that in mind as I read this next section of today's scripture. And this is continuing 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Now, as we think about that particular scripture, here's what Anna's friend was invited to do in sort of dealing with a challenge in a relationship. The advice that was given is, take the name of that person with whom you're experiencing this difficulty of relationship and put their name in this scripture. Everywhere you see the word love, put in this person's name. Can you imagine putting someone's name in there? This person that you're thinking of, are they patient, kind? Are they the opposite of jealous? Do they brag or not brag? Can you imagine putting someone's name in this particular scripture? And here's where we get into a little bit of talk amongst yourselves times. All right? There's two things I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm going to give you both instructions now, and then we'll just have just a few minutes to do this. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to take 30 seconds to a minute and just think about a person with whom you're in a relationship. Whether it's someone that's a challenging relationship, or you might be able to put someone's name in here and find an affirmation of a relationship. But put a name into this scripture. If you need a little help with it, there's an insert in your bulletin that has most of the scripture. And it has blanks for where a name might go. Now, I don't want you to write it in for the first part. So for the first part, just take 30 seconds or a minute and think of somebody's name and put them into each of these slots in your mind and sort of read through it and see if that works for you. Here's the second part, and I'll remind you of it after the first part is done. The second part is you'll take a pencil or a pen, there's some in the pew backs in front of you, and write in some names. Not the same name every time, but write in several names, okay? So that's the second part. The first part is just look at this and think of someone's name. You'll have 30 seconds to a minute to do that. The second part will be write in several names. If you have a couple repeats, that's fine, but feel free to mix it up. So we'll start with about 30 seconds to a minute now to just sort of think of a name that you can put in here. And here we'll move into the second part. I invite you to get a pencil or pen if you have it. If you want to use one of the pens in the pew backs in front of you, write in some names. Whether it's somebody who's here or not here, write in some names. If there's a couple of repeats, that's fine. But write in some names. Have some variety. Write in some names on this sheet. We'll take 3 to 4 minutes for this piece. I'd like to invite you with these sheets. And if you haven't finished writing some names in, feel free to keep working on it. You don't have to turn these in, by the way. This is not like homework. Good. I want you to keep these. Here's a question that I think is a good question to ask. For how many of you did you write down the name of someone who happens to be in this room right now? Just by show of hands. That's a lot of love. Good. Here's what I'd invite you to do. A couple of things with this. One, whether it's someone who's in this room right now or someone who's not in this room, for the people that whose names you wrote down on here, take some time to talk to them and say thanks. Take some time to talk to some of these folks and say, I really appreciate this quality in you. But here's the other thing I'd invite you to do as sort of a check-in on the way that you live in the world. Take some time at some point to put your name in here. Take some time to put your name in here and see, am I treating the world the way that I want to be treated? Am I living in the world in a way that is an embodiment of divine love? And putting your name in here is one way that you can sort of check that out. It's sort of a self-evaluation. I'd invite you to do that. I want to continue with our scripture, just closing out the rest of 1 Corinthians 13. As Paul closes out this letter to the church in Corinth, he does so really in the entirety of this chapter. We could argue it in so much of this entire book. Certainly in this chapter, Paul has a tendency in many ways to contrast some of the things that particular culture in Corinth finds important and contrasts it with love, right? And we talked about some of those opening scriptures where he talked about speaking in tongues and having the gift of prophecy, but talked about how love is even greater than those things, right? These are good gifts. Leading up to this chapter was a lot of great conversation about spiritual gifts, the recognition that it's the same Spirit that gives all of those gifts. But Paul highlights that even with these great gifts, if they're done without love, then maybe we're missing something. And so as we close out the rest of this this chapter, understand that many of which of the things that Paul talks about near the end of this chapter are things that are pretty important to the culture of Corinth at the time, and that we might insert some things that we find important in our culture today. He writes this, love never fails. As for prophecies, they'll be brought to an end. As for tongues, they'll stop. As for knowledge, it'll be brought to an end. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I've become a man, insert your own pronoun there, now that I've become a man, I put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things, and the greatest of these is love. Now, I want to say something to anyone in the room who's under 18. Now, if you just sort of want to think that you're under 18, even if you're not, that's okay. I'm talking to you too. Good. All right. Here's what I want to say to those who are under 18 or sort of feel that way, and we're still good with all of that, okay? Is it fair to say, I'm looking at you guys, even though, you know, there's others around the room, but I'm looking at you guys because you guys know what's coming anyway because you were here last service. Good. Is it fair to say that when it comes to parents and teachers and people who are in general older than you, is it fair to say that those people haven't got a clue? Yeah? All right, good. We got some affirmation. So I want to tell you that I have felt exactly that same way too when I was your age. And something happened in my early 20s. I'm not sure what it was, because when I was your age, my dad didn't have a brain cell in his skull. But when I was in my early 20s, one of two things happened. Either my dad got a lot smarter really fast, or I understood that I was wrong about him, and he's a lot smarter than I gave him credit for. I like to think it's that second one. And parents, you might agree, or folks who are in your 20s who've had that same experience, right? Sometimes it seems like our perspective on the world was so limited until we took that time, either through age and maturity or learning or whatever, to broaden our perspective. And that's my invitation to all of you who are under 18 or who sort of want to feel that way, is pay attention to the ways that your perspective can be broadened. Because I bet you that people in the world are a lot smarter than sometimes we give them credit for. You know, Paul writes, as he closes out this chapter, about how so much of what we absolutely know is impartial. One of the things I love science. And when we think about what 100 years ago science absolutely, without a doubt, knew, and how that's different to what science teaches us today. When we think about, well, I'm a tech guy, I'm a complete geek. And when I think about, you too, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. When I think about the computers that were available when I was in, you know, fifth and sixth grade, they brought computers into school, and some of the things that were, now I'm not that old, but I'm a little old. But the things that were different about tech there, I mean, we had a monitor on our computer that was only one color, it was green, right? And we didn't have a hard drive, but we had two floppy disk drives. We were set. But when we realize that what's in my cell phone today is more powerful computing than what sent people to the moon, what we knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, like what we knew beyond a certain of a doubt, is completely different today. What we know beyond absolute certainty about our God and our Christ and the Spirit that's in our lives today, what we know today is incomplete. And we can open ourselves to what knowledge will come. And how is the best way to open our knowledge to those things that are incomplete, that knowledge that's incomplete within us? How can we best open ourselves to those things? Love. Love is what fills in the broken places in us. Love is what fills in our cracks and our aches and our inefficiencies, our deficiencies, our insufficiencies. Love is what fills up the places where we feel like we're not enough. Love is what fills up the places that the world tells us about ourselves that aren't enough. I tell you what, when we as a community of faith choose to live out the love that has been poured into us, we, as we spoke with the children, as we spoke about with the children, we are a small part of making the world a better place. I invite you to receive the love that makes us perfect. In the Wesleyan tradition, we talk about Christian perfection, and it seems like this impossible thing, and it is, without God's love. But when we choose to take in that love, we find that our cracks and our broken places are filled in such a way that we overflow with that love, and we have the chance to pour that love into somebody else. We have a chance as our broken places, our insufficiencies, our deficiencies are filled in with love. We find that we overflow in such a way that we can pour that love into others. This is Paul's message of one love today. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we are grateful for this opportunity to understand more fully and more deeply the love that you give to all of us. Help us to receive your love and help us to give your love away. A love that is patient and kind, that's not jealous and doesn't brag, that isn't arrogant, it isn't rude. A love that fills all things, that seeks all things, that perfects us. Fill us with faith, hope, and love, and remind us that the greatest of these is love. We pray in the name of the Christ. Amen.